Welcome back to the TM podcast episode 43. Today we're going to talk about sizing. So we invited our expert on sizing, Holger. So Holger, could you please introduce yourself?
Sure. So I'm Holger, working in the order management team in general, but I also have to take care of some cross topics like performance. And part of the performance is the topic of sizing, helping the customers out to get their hardware for our stuff.
Okay, thanks. So next we have Bernd, who's also going to ask some questions today.
Yeah, me again, Bernd, also from the order management team. And they have the pleasure asking questions about sizing. I'm really curious. I have no idea about that.
Let's clarify.
And yeah, my name is Felix. I'm a new colleague in TM, also working in the order management team, currently on different topics. And I'm also going to ask some questions today, and I'm eager to learn about sizing. So.
Okay. Then let's get started, huh? I would say. So what is that sizing altogether? It's about size, right?
So. It's about size, yes. Size matters. So imagine somebody wants to install our transportation management software, and in the end, you always need some hardware to run that software on. Mm. And then you get the question from either the customer directly or from its partners, like Novigo and others, to estimate what hardware resources are required to run a transportation management system with a given data volume. Mm-hmm. And sizing is all about telling the customer what hardware resources are required for his specific transportation management system in our case.
Okay, so that's the basic thing. So what kind of box do I need to run exactly. A certain TM, and what a certain TM setup means, I think we come to that later then. Exactly.
Okay. So if I were a customer, how could I start this process? Where could I get the information on what I need?
Mm-hmm. Okay. My system? Two approaches. Many applications and also transportation management has content in the so-called Quick Sizer, which is a general available tool for customers and partners, where they can do that on their own. Mm-hmm. They can jump into that tool and so to say, enter their data volume and other KPIs and information that is required for such a sizing. We'll get to that. And then the outcome would be a list of KPIs that the customer or the partner takes on to the hardware vendor, approaches the hardware vendor with this information, and then the customer orders a correspondingly sized hardware. What we have in place for transportation management.
May I ask one question about that quick sizer? How would I find it? Is it just Google?
You can find it on the official SAP sites in the web.
Okay.
So, and we have actually a sizing node for transportation management.
Okay.
That is node 1801063, which contains the link also to the quick sizer tool. Mm. With some remarks on the specifics of our QuickSizer content.
Okay, so all you have to remember is that note number 1801063. It's like a commercial, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, and from there you would have the link, so we don't have to share.
So that is the root point of getting to know how to size a transportation management system. Take a look at this note. You will find all the information, all the links that is required to get started, plus the things that we talk about now in a minute.
So I think that's it. And I think anyway, we will dive a bit deeper. Okay, good. That's a good starting point. Sorry, I interrupted you. So that is the first option. So I go into the quick sizer. Okay.
So you would go to the quick sizer, do all the things that the quick sizer requires to be entered. And the other option, which we use in many cases when it comes to sizing transportation management, is the mentioned node, 1801063. It contains a questionnaire, a catalog of questions, which we would like to get answered by customers or partners. That's actually a PowerPoint presentation where you can type in all the requested information and you can return this back via a ticket. We have a ticket component, TM-BF-SIZ, for the sizing requests that we get. And you can have that as a customer externally. We also use that internally. And there you place a ticket with this questionnaire filled out attached to that ticket. And then either me or somebody else takes on the processing of this ticket. We work on that. We provide all the information it takes into the ticket, reply to the customer. And then the customer has all the information to go to the hardware vendor or the hardware. In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Okay, so to wrap up, so I go to that node, and then download the attached PowerPoint. Correct. And we, I think we go through the, what it's asked there a bit later, attach it to an incident with a component TMBFSIC. Sizing. No? And then, okay, get an answer on the required hardware. Okay.
Okay.
That's simple.
Okay, so one question from my side now would be, does this work for all different incarnations of TM, so the standalone or the embedded in S4 or the cloud?
Yeah. So what you get here is basically an estimate, an initial estimate for an on-premise system, or if you choose for that option, you may want to install your transportation management in the HANA Enterprise Cloud, which is also every now and then requested. So you get for the S4 on-premise as well as the HEC versions that you install there, an initial sizing which tells you how many how much capacity do you need from a hardware perspective.
Okay.
And if it's so if I have a standalone TM system, that sounds pretty straightforward. If I have an embedded scenario, most likely, I mean, TM is, of course, one of the most important parts of it, but it's only a part of the overall solution. So how would I, would I open an incident still for the TM part and then another one for the other components that I intend
That's
to use,
That's a very good
right?
point. So when you are using a standalone TM, then that's the easier part. Then you just provide your information in the questionnaire and you get the full sizing for your transportation management because it's a standalone system that requires some hardware and it maybe has external system which you connect to each other. But we only focus then on a single system. What we have in the embedded case, we are on the same box with other applications as well. So that might be materials management, where we integrate us with invoicing functionality and indirectly also with financials maybe, or other components that you might want to use within an S4 system. What we can then only do is we only can estimate the TM part of that full-fledged S4 system. So that means in addition to that, what we send to you, you would have to request the other components for their estimate and put all the pieces then in the end together, which sum then up to the overall size of your full-fledged S4 system. So what we do is we take part in that sizing exercise, but we can only provide the TM part of it.
Okay. So it still would, anyway, select, or already, most likely already selected the components I intend to use, and then according to the, our sizing, there would be similar input required for the other areas, and then you kind of sum that up, and then maybe if it gets too complicated, maybe there's also special services for that. Maybe we come to that a bit later for, let's say, special special cases. Okay, but in a straightforward case, embedded, the TM part goes the same way. Maybe it's worth mentioning then to us if it's embedded or not in, the questionnaire in a way, but because there might some sizing effect, so to say. That's a good word. Huh? So having the same
basic. There are actually effects, which we have to consider in this case, yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, that sounds okay.
Okay. So that, I think that was a good introduction to the topic and what it's for. So maybe we can come next to the questionnaire you mentioned. What are questions contained in the questionnaire? What information does the customer have to provide?
Do I have to be
to answer the sizing questions?
Do I have to be afraid of that, or is it simple?
No, it's a easygoing PowerPoint where you just have several slides with different aspects of the transportation management mm-hmm. system. It starts usually with some generic questions like, how does your working day look like? What are peak hours where you expect the system to have a peak load of mm-hmm. Data to be processed? That can be, let's say, a 24x7 system. It could be 5 days a week, 10 hours time range, and then customers can specify their peak hours. Peak hours are important to know, okay, you have to provide hardware sources to cover these peaks so that you do not run into hardware problems and the hardware not being able to process all the stuff. So that is an important information that is asked at the very beginning. The next thing would be, okay, how long, for example, would you like to keep the data in your system concerning archiving? We have effects based on that information, because the longer you take it takes to keep the data in your system, let's say for 3 years, that's sometimes asked by customers who would like to keep the data for 3 years and then do an archiving. It has, of course, an effect on the size of the disk. In S4, we have HANA as a database. It also influences the size of the memory that you have to provide to keep that data in the memory. So depending on the archiving times, it can vary in the sizing information. Then the next step would be, what are the user groups, different functionalities by grouping users into, let's say, the planners, order managers, users that take care of master data or charge calculation, and so on. So we ask customers and partners to group their users. And depending on the role of a user, you can tell by certain experience, okay, this planning user, for example, needs a bit more hardware capacity run the full-fledged transportation cockpit, for example. Somebody that enters a forwarding order might need just a little less of hardware resources to enter a single freight order, a forwarding order, whatever it is. So based on that, you can tell already roughly, okay, it's a big one or it's a small one.
Do you need for the users? That's an interesting point. So if I have a setup where my planners, for example, would kind of do a month's load of planning or week load of loading, is that also a question at inference? So how many documents do I have in one run? Is that also kind of an answer?
There are certain other questions which deal with planning functionality. There are questions which ask how many shipments do you plan to send out per day or whatever time frame per hour. That is, by the way, a most important information. We get to that. So you can tell by the questions what is the potential data volume of such a planner. You get an idea when you're a bit experienced when taking a look at the questionnaire. You could tell what is the category or the magnitude of workload that such a planner or other users will face.
So like a worst case scenario, coming back to other questions, but I never archive, then I have maybe 200 planners, and each of them is planning some thousand freight units in parallel, and all is done Monday morning. That would be a kind of a worst case scenario. And then if I have the same number of planners, but it's kind of distributed around the world, for example, or so, then it gets better. And that's so why this part.
Imagine a customer that has a central transportation management system for the whole world, and there are central planners just brainstorming that would plan the whole world in just 2 hours. Then that would make a difference to just going around the world and having planners in the regions to plan their part at the time when they need it. That would make a difference, of course.
And batch users, if I have batch, then I would consider them like a planner, right? If I say I don't have a planner, so it's free, but it's not. So I would have to kind of the batch user that does this automatic planning to estimate that as a planner, I guess. Okay.
And that is also something that you find out based on the questionnaire information. Is there more automatic planning foreseen, or are these really human beings sitting in front of the screen doing the planning stuff manually, so to say?
Okay.
You get an idea about this.
Okay, so you use the information about what users do I have, when are the peak times, to just to get a rough idea on how big the scale of the system actually has to be.
Plus the other questions, they deal with different functional parts of the transportation management. The questionnaire sequence goes like, the first thing is what comes in as orders. That could be order-based transportation request, delivery-based transportation request, forwarding orders, sales orders, whatever you can think of. So the demand gets in. And that is the first part of the questions.
So all TRQ, so
TRQ
to say.
TRQ-related.
Okay.
And so then the next thing is, okay, how many freight units do you derive from these objects? And what is the structure of these documents? For example, the, how many line items do these orders have? That can influence, of course, also the performance. So it scales, of course, it's linear. But if you have 1,000 items, it takes you a bit longer than just creating a document with 10 items, for example. Yeah. So there are influencing factors, which I can read from the questions. Mm-hmm. So there was one question, how many items do your documents, for example, have? And then I can tell, okay.
And if I have like a wild mixture, so I have one with one item, or I have one type of orders with one item, and then I have this huge ones with 10,000, do you need like a peak and an average, or what is the information?
So if I get to see in the questionnaire, and many customers specify, okay, there's that can deviate, I can have orders with one item, or I can have orders with 1,000 items, then I try a bit from my experience with that to streamline this a bit to come up with an average. I have to cover the peak, of course, but you always have to play around a bit with the numbers that you calculate to really have a good hit.
Okay, so a customer, if he has a very special situation, he may even add some sentences about that kind of free text that he would say, okay, that's my peak, but it's only the 1% case, or it's the 50% case. That again helps, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And if worse comes to worse, I will take on the ticket back to the customer, ask the customer certain questions to clarify exactly such deviating factors where it's not quite clear what is the average, for example. Then I ask back the customer or the partner to give me some more detailed input.
So but if the customer would have statistics from, I mean, our items typically would come from SD, MM, whatever documents, that would help, so that you have the average, the peaks, and maybe also the distribution. Maybe it's easy to find out, and it helps a lot to get a more precise size. Okay.
So, and the questionnaire goes on then with other questions, and with each question that concerns data volume, it is vital to also provide data volume per what time range. Mm-hmm. So if you forget to put in the time range that the data volume needs to be processed in, then, well, you can distribute it among a day or an hour or a second. What is it exactly? And that has, of course, a huge influence. It makes a big difference whether you want to have 100,000 TRQs processed in one day versus processing the same amount in just 1 hour.
Black Friday.
Where we had
scenario.
Customers on Black Fridays, the famous ones, where they need to have that high volume. And then I need to know, okay, this needs to go in 1 hour. Functional-wise, it goes on. Freight units, how many, how are they structured? Then we have also questions that ask for optimizer settings, so that I can also pass the ticket to at least the optimizer component directly and ask them to provide the customers and partners also with an optimizer sizing.
Oh, yeah.
Then after the optimizer, we have as a result freight orders, which can then maybe have tendering, carrier selection involved, maybe charge calculation. That's also some parts that are then being asked about. Mm-hmm. For example, charge calculation. How many rate tables? How many agreements are there? How are they structured? How many entries do you expect in a charge calculation tables? Mm. Because the lookup of charges can be very complex because you may have a million charges in one table, and then the lookup takes respectively long.
Mm.
Then finally, you get to the invoicing stuff. When the process is done with transporting it, you would like to have maybe the invoicing stuff that we offer involved. And you would like to know, okay, do you want to have an invoice per order that you transport, or would you like to consolidate multiple orders in one invoice? Mm. So monthly invoicing, for example. Then it ends with the final questions again with the users. That's a funny part. There is one, several questions of the users at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I ask that again because it's usually one of the most important factors to know how the users are structured. So therefore, I have the user question at the end of the questionnaire again.
Ah, so it's a control question, if it
is. So to say, yeah.
Ah, be careful. I see.
And that is pretty much the customer input that they can provide.
Maybe one question or about the optimizer sizing. So I think for that, it's important to know that the optimizer is a separate installation, correct, typically, right?
Okay. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. You need to be aware that this is a separate server, which is not implemented in ABAP, but in C++. Mm. And these guys, our colleagues in the optimizer team, they have also attached in the famous note that we mentioned several times, they have an Excel sheet where they additionally to that questions, which I have in the questionnaire, also can have specific questions concerning the transportation network, which is to be expected, and a few other factors which play a role for the optimizer. And nevertheless, usually I send the ticket to the optimizer guys, tell them, hey, the customer or the partner has filled out that Excel, plus on slide, I think, 7 or 5, it is the questions in my questionnaire about the optimizer. All that together helps them to come up with additional hardware resources that you need in addition to my estimate for the optimizer if you use it.
Okay, and then the optimizer sizing, that would be also a separate kind of machine sizing. Exactly. It's not part of the...
That's a separate box usually in the majority of cases that you have to connect to your TM system. You can set up these corresponding RFC connections that then call, and they can tell you how big the optimizer server needs to be.
Okay, yeah. And if I think there is a special situation that you could, I think, in principle, also have like an optimizer engine on a cloud server. So if it becomes too big, and you only need it once a week, but then huge, then maybe that is also an option to have that in a kind of cloud hosting.
Same thing, like the very one of the very first questions: standalone versus embedded.
Mm-hmm.
Here you have to specify also in your questionnaire. You should mention what is the scenario, how would you like to have your system architecture in rough, because we're not discussing IT questions in a sizing. We just tell you, okay, the overall hardware resources need to be this and that big.
Okay.
So I think that's a good point to ask the questions about the results. So we know we already covered what the customer provides as input for the whole sizing task, let's say. Mm-hmm. So what can you then provide to the user? What information?
So the customer or the partner gets an answer in the ticket. And it starts with the note that this is an initial sizing estimate where we do not know all factors which play a role in the final system.
Yeah, sure.
So you cannot do that down to the very detail for an initial sizing. Most of the times it's in the pre-sale cycle, or if a customer wants to upgrade from an old version to a new version of TM, so to say, then a resizing is maybe requested. So the outcome of the sizing is actually we have within SAP a unit of measure called SAPS, S-A-P-S, and that is a hardware neutral number expressed in subs, mm-hmm. Which tells you, okay, this is the calculation power you need to get this done, what you have requested for. So then the next KPI that you return back is a split up into an application server and database server. How many subs does the application server need? How many subs the database server?
And the subs stands more for the processing power, so to
that
say.
That is the processing CPU. Power that is concerning the decision how much CPUs do you need.
Okay.
Actually, such a CPU core has a certain amount of subs that it can provide, and the hardware vendor can tell you then, okay, you need, let's say, 10 CPUs with 6 cores, having each core having 1,500 subs, and then you you can scale that up to the final subs that I tell you.
Yeah, that's also when you read like tests from new processors, then it's very often mentioned.
So the subs is important to get to know how many CPUs will you need, and there are certain rules of thumb to determine the memory, but we also give some statement about how much memory the application server will need, how much memory the database server will need, and for the overall system, we of course need to determine how big needs do we need to size the disk space that is required to permanently persist the data that we are processing. And that is mentioned, plus some hints what you need to keep in mind when interpreting these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So what I always put into the answer is the legal disclaimer. What you do get here is not a final contracted number, but we have to make people aware of the fact that it can deviate, because we do not know all the factors which actually play a role in the final setup.
Yeah. Okay.
And having that, you get summed up total subs, total RAM, total disk size, plus the detailed information for the application server and the database server.
But there's no requirements on like I/O things of the SSDs or whatever storage device you have. That's more likely, most likely, more common thing then. But it's not that you specifically say, I don't know.
That is that is rather going into the IT parts of such a sizing, and that can be usually talked about with the IT experts at the customer, or you get some services maybe from your hardware vendor, which can tell you, okay, go for this, go for that. They can pretty much tell you what the hardware setup in detail should look like. We at SAP only provide a hardware neutral. And we are only allowed to do that, by the way, to provide hardware neutral sizing numbers, and then the customer decides: do I go for IBM? Do I go for HP? Do I go for Lenovo and all the others?
And then they would know based on that numbers. Okay, that makes sense to have, I don't know, 500,000 IOPS on SSD and whatever RAM. I'm out of sync with that. So the spec makes sense for that setup. So that's not part of our sizing. So we really give how much memory, disk size, and CPU power. That is the result. And in our case, split up into the TM part of the system, so to say.
Exactly.
The optimizer and scheduler, by the way, so reference to last episode, the sizing for that server. With that, I go to my hardware vendor and he would know, okay, what does it mean in terms of available systems, which boxes, configurations would make sense for that setup.
Exactly.
Okay. Sounds like makes sense. Maybe I would have one question about the input. So, I don't know, if I start small, so I roll out maybe one country, one business unit, a test setup, but then I have a plan to grow, hopefully, if it's successful. And so how would I handle that situation? Would I already come with a max, or would I have like two That's sizings?
So what several customers have done, they made themselves a plan how to grow this in the future and how to scale that up. So there was one automotive customer that sent me four questionnaires. The first rollout country was, I think, Germany. And they wanted to know, okay, next year we want to go live in Germany with a certain amount of data, this and that amount of users and so on. And I provided this in the first place because that was the most important information for them to get started. But then they asked me, okay, here are three other scenarios for the future when we roll out this in complete Europe. We go over to North America and to Asia. And that was, I think, a 5 years plan. And then I had a bit more work to do, of course. I need to calculate four different, let's say, scenarios. And then I provide them with, let's say, four different sizings where they get exactly per scenario, exactly the same KPIs, which we discussed a second before.
And then, then it would go with the different scenarios to your hardware partner. And then you say, okay, maybe it makes already sense to buy it. Or meanwhile, I think you can even virtually buy that big box, but you only pay for what you use. And,
exactly.
That's something you discussed then with your hardware
partner. So others also tend to put in the data of several evolution steps into one questionnaire, which is a bit tricky to read. If possible, just make a copy of the first one and adjust the numbers to the next scenario. That makes my life a bit easier to keep track on what is the numbers for which
I can imagine if it then even the combination is maybe, I don't know, you grow with users but not with documents, and the third step it's documents but not users, then it's get confusing on what is when. And so
another let's say extreme scenario was, okay, there was one customer, they didn't want to have a central transportation management system but a distributed one, so for each country one single instance. So I had to calculate 24 countries. And then I created myself a little Excel where I recorded all the KPIs to keep track on that exercise, which takes then a bit longer in process, I think, to take it.
Okay.
So you talked about the different varieties of complexity for the different scenarios. So I guess the overall process is the same, independent from the complexity. Yeah. But is there a point where it's just too complex to give a rough estimate?
So in the end, we had customers with data volume that was so large that we were never able to simulate that kind of data volume in our own internal systems. So what we have to tell these customers then is to go for an expert sizing. Then this manual sizing is not serious anymore, because there are too many factors which can play a role and influence the overall estimate. In this case, an expert sizing is recommended, and that is also in the QuickSizer pages mentioned, and in the sizing information that you can find on the sap.com sections. What you do when you need to have an expert sizing is you actually can have your partner do that for you, and that usually is you set up in your existing system, you have a hardware, and you set up the system as you would like to have it as a target, and then you measure the full-fledged setup and measure the process as it will be exactly the same. And then you can come up with a better sizing measurement and estimate for your very specific scenario. That is usually done by partners, or you can buy in AGS services here from SAP. They have colleagues supporting customers and partners also to come up with a sizing. That is, of course, a chargeable service that you can buy in. But that is every now and then required if it becomes that large, in this case, such a manual sizing estimate won't be good enough, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I get from this is the simpler the scenario, the more accurate the estimate gets, or...
It has some final dependencies. What we try to cover is an average questionnaire which covers the most important things that we know of have an influence on the hardware requirements. What you cannot foresee is certain customizing settings. It might turn out that a customer decides, okay, I would like to have the charge calculation going always directly along with the freight order creation and so on and so forth. These are little tiny switches and bits and pieces which you cannot foresee. Then you get to the nitty-gritty stuff, and you cannot tell what is the exact influence on that.
And maybe also may have sometimes very special scenarios, like we have some customers on you doing charge calculation, but that in a so intense way that they have like an end of month process where they create really huge documents only once a month, and then maybe not even with the user, but in batch. But that is something maybe also where to be on a safe side on from both, so not to have a too huge system, but also to have a appropriate system where expert sizing maybe makes sense. If I have all huge documents, I have a uncommon structure in a way that I handle, I don't know, large capacities and really with tens of thousands of items and dozens or hundreds of stages, and which is not a common a scenario, and then it makes sense to be on the safe side to use that special service.
Exactly. I would at least buy it in if there are doubts on such a, let's say, call it manual estimate, because at a certain point it starts deviating from that, what you get when you really precisely exactly measure the setup as it will be.
And then if I have like huge customer add-ons or so where a lot of processing is done, maybe an enhancement also, then maybe it makes
that sense. Is also a factor which is hard to cover in our initial sizings. There are customers which build something on top, and then they would like to know, okay, if I run this on top development in my process, how does it affect the hardware resources? So that is always a question where you have to collaborate with the corresponding implementation partner, plus the customer, plus us, where we give our part. And we can say this would be the standard, and they need to maybe do something in addition to that, what they have implemented.
Okay. Like, I know that some of our customers and projects have dozens or sometimes three-digit number of additional fields in the items. And of course, we can only estimate, I guess, based on our standard structure. Okay. Yeah. And if I have plans in that direction, then maybe I add a certain topic. Okay. Right. Talking about what influences this sizing? So are there some kind of key drivers? So if I increase the number of, I don't know, concurrent users and have or maybe if you could just go into that, what makes an TM system size larger? What is not so important?
So probably the biggest factor which I face in such sizing is the amount of users that are intended to work on that TM part of the system. There are sometimes customers which speak about 2,000 named users, and then it turns out, okay, the concurrent average users or the average concurrent users, this sequence way, is only, let's say, 100. There are potentially 2,000 users, but only in average there are expected to be 100 users on the system at the same time. Maybe in peak, then peak concurrent users, 150, then it's okay. But the number of users, and especially the peak number of users, influences the size a lot.
I guess a subsize mainly, or is it also for memory and stuff?
Also the memory, also the processing power that you need. Imagine you have a TM system where there are only, let's say, 10 planners with a large transportation cockpit, which requires a bit hardware. And they do the planning for all the worldwide transports, 10 people. Versus scenario where customers tell you, hey, but I have 500 planners that need to do that in parallel, spread around the world, 24 times 7, then this will have a significant impact.
Okay, so just to wrap up on that, so it's important to know the number of named users, but that's not so critical.
That's not
critical.
The tricky part.
That's just different users. But what you really need to know is how many users are working in parallel at the same point in time on
in
a system
average,
which is
and
the
in peak
in average
and the,
and in peak.
And the peak is actually that what I use in the estimate to cover the peak amounts of hardware resources that we need, because in the end such a system needs to be able to cover the peaks. So it doesn't work if you just have half the hardware resources, but you know there's a peak which doubles the computing power demand at a certain point in time, and then you do not have that hardware power.
So it works in average, but not on Monday mornings.
It's, exactly. That should be prevented.
Okay. So that's the concurrent, or what you called concurrent users, right? Mm-hmm. And also was asked for that. Does it make sense that if I have a very special setup, like you mentioned, I have 10, I have maybe 100 concurrent users, but 10 of them are the global planners, and all of them would plan like with thousands of thread units in parallel, there's maybe a context information that also helps.
You can specify this in the section where I ask about the user groups, what they exactly do. You could put there some commands in which gives us this detailed information. And if we know that information, many customers and partners don't provide this, but if we know that, we can keep that in mind for our estimate.
Okay, so it makes it more precise again. Okay, so that's the users.
Users is the most influencing parameter, but there are, of course, others which are application-specific. Let's say when we talk about the difference between a standalone S4 and an embedded S4, in the embedded case, you have, so to say, a direct integration. You may create a sales order. From that sales order, you directly get the freight units, and then you go on with your transportation management process. It doesn't need a service message communication between two different systems, like in the standalone case. For standalone,
and also doesn't need to store a TRQ object.
Exactly,
together, right?
And that is a good point. It saves you some memory, some disks space, and the processing need to receive that message, process it, create a TRQ object out of it, and so on. That can be skipped in the embedded case, which you have in the standalone case. There you need to keep in mind there's a message communication that takes a certain while. Then you need to create this TRQ object that consumes memory, that consumes disk space, and so on. So there are certain differences. We have one customer from Korea, the famous one, where we had two sizings, one for standalone, one for embedded, and it made out, it turned out that they could reduce their hardware resources quite a bit by going for the embedded.
Okay.
Okay, so these specific bottlenecks that come in different scenarios are also evaluated. And
I keep that in mind when I take a look at the questionnaire. And most important is customers and partners should tell us, okay, am I a standalone? Am I an embedded? So be as precise as possible to give us that information. And the better, then the estimate becomes and gets.
Okay, so the... You mentioned, so it's the users, it's the processes that I use, and or document size, or is that the
document size can also play a role. It of course makes a difference if you have in the end freight orders which carry 1,000 items versus freight orders which just have one item. So there might be also the need that you have a forwarding order, TRQ object, and the freight unit building rule is designed in a way that it not only has a one-to-one relationship between TRQ and freight unit, but it has a certain freight unit split logic that creates, let's say, 1,000 freight units from the 500 items that you have in the forwarding order. All this, all in all together, the document structure plays an important role. So it would be interesting for us always to know, okay, how are your documents structured?
Okay.
What do you plan with it?
Here I can plug the first TM podcast episode that's about freight unit and freight unit building. So if you didn't understand the last sentences, you may, and you should, then you can go to the first episode or use other sources, of course. Okay. And that's interesting. So it's the user and their distribution along the week. Yep. It's the processes that I use or don't use, and it's the size of the documents. And for the document sizes, it makes sense to be as precise as possible, also in terms of distribution, as we talked earlier. So if my peak is 1,000 items, but that's only the 1% case, I should also add that to you so that you have not ending up in estimating all the documents with 1,000 items, and then have a huge machine not really required. Yeah. Okay. Anything else on that influence the sizing? Sounds pretty complete.
Just like in the other questionnaire parts, what I gather from this information is a gut feeling, okay, is this a large data volume? Is it a low data volume? for example, charge calculation is very much depending on the size of the rate tables and the number of entries that you have to look up when doing the charge calculation, number of agreements which have to be found for charge calculation is always always a bit to be calculated and kept in mind. And for the settlement process, for example, which is at the end of the chain, let's say it that way, it's always good to know, okay, do I have a consolidation of, let's say, freight orders in a freight settlement document, or is that a freight settlement document per freight order? And we had customers which did extremely large consolidation of freight orders, 100,000 into one large big invoicing document. I might be exaggerating, but imagine a large volume that you consolidate and you want to invoice just every week or every month, then it becomes very large. Plus, if you set them up to recalculate the charges for this invoice, when you create that invoice, it becomes even longer.
Okay.
Things like that.
It kind of decreases if you have that huge document, it decreases the required memory or the disk space, I guess, because you have less like header parts, but the subs or the computing power and also the peak memory will increase. Okay. So that's also something to be considered. But in most cases, this is driven by the business process and nothing. They can say, okay, I sent you now 10 invoices per month because it's cheaper in sizing. Most cases, that's not an option, I guess. Okay. That sounds.
Plus, complete. Let me repeat it.
Yep.
When we talk about an S4 system, people tend to have large residence time of their data, meaning the archiving is expected to be, I don't know, I'm exaggerating again, 10 years. Which doesn't make sense. You have to have a good reason to keep transportation management logistical documents in your system. It's different with the financial stuff. There might be different country-specific rules which force you to keep that information in the system. But for transportation management, you have to keep in mind we are not replacing a BW with our information, but we have only... operational analytics in place, which by default only covers, let's say, 3 month short period of time, and not the full-fledged 10 years of analytics, for example. If you go for a long-term analytics, you rather have a BW in place again, also in the S4 space, and do that extraction of the data to the BW and then do there the analytics or use the SAP Analytics Cloud in recent days to do that long-term analytics. So there's not necessarily the need to keep the data, logistical data, so long in your team.
Okay.
That can save you some RAM because we have HANA as a database. Keep in mind that's a memory-based database and it saves you some disk.
Good. We are getting closer to Christmas this year. It's 2019, by the way. So for those listeners listening later, if you would have, what are your wishes towards a questionnaire or what the common mistakes that you see? So what if I want to now, I really love that sizing and next thing I want to do is getting a sizing from you. So what is the perfect input for you where you have a brick?
For our famous note, make sure that you can read that note, get access to that note. Take a look at the questionnaire, and the questionnaire is the let's say, our source, initial source of information. So it's most important for us to get that filled out as precise as possible. So that means if you answer the question about a certain data volume for a specific document type, please provide the full number if available, and always assign the information of the time range that it relates to. There should be never the question answered like, okay, we have 100,000 forwarding orders. I need to know, or we need to know, in which time frame. Because in the end, when we calculate the required subs, CPU power, this formula requires calculating down it how many subs per hour do I actually need to tell the customer?
Mm.
Okay, so this is a required information, and if I do a wild guess, then the estimate doesn't get very high quality in this. And if you don't know the exact number of users, try to make up your mind and really estimate this, because it's the main factor of the size. And try to at least give a rough grouping of your users into different roles, like the transportation planner, the guys that do the invoicing, and so on. There are different groups. If you read the documentation for TM, you find out, okay, there are different transportation management rules, and I have a certain amount of users for the planners, for the invoicers, and so on. Okay. So if we get that information, it helps us to better estimate, okay, planners take more than invoicers, and charge calculation takes a bit more than just invoicing without charge calculation, and so on. So we can shift around, slice and dice this a bit better to get to a more precise estimate result.
And then if you have very special scenarios like you described before, also provide that information so that you have a chance that this is not only a planner, but it's a planner with 10,000 freight units versus there's other planners. So provide that,
would be
context.
Just perfect to know these details. I know that in such a pre-sales cycle, it's not always possible to get that detail. But if possible, please provide it. In a pre-sales cycle, you can always come up with rough information if it is not possible. But then you need to be aware that this gets a bit imprecise, and you may have to iterate this again with some more detailed information later on.
Okay, so that makes also sense to kind of maybe start with an initial estimate, and then when I get, let's say, more precise and maybe then also very different numbers, to reopen that and to reconfirm throughout the life cycle of the implementation.
Exactly,
so to say.
That happens many times, by the way.
Good. And then what you also mentioned earlier, if I have different like rollout phases, then do not try to squeeze it into one sizing.
Maybe split it up in multiple questionnaires. Let's say you want to roll out this over 4 years, and you always should come up with a separate questionnaire with the different data volumes that you have in mind for the different years for rollout.
Okay, that makes it.
And what you have to keep in mind, sizing is never a subject of negotiations. You always have to make sure that you understand here, this is the data volume, this is the number of users. There is no negotiation about, can I have it with the half size of the hardware? In the end, you need a hardware. And it won't be done with a pocket calculator, but we can do something about the size when we know exactly some details, which allows us to precisely estimate.
And you may also, like you described the influence factors earlier, you also have ways of addressing that, maybe by, for example, arranging your peak loads throughout the time loans in a way if that you don't do the optimization with a planner or with all the planners and the settlement, everything is done in parallel. If that is not really required, you also have ways of kind of shifting peaks, which
That is something that I make people sometimes aware of. If you split your peak up into two, which are close in the time range to each other, then you would be able to to lower these peak times a bit, and that requires then less hardware than covering a gigantic peak while the rest of the time the system does only a few things. So that can be smoothened a bit.
Okay. Good.
All right. So thank you, Holger, for your insights.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Bernd, for your excellent questions. I hope you listeners now have a good understanding of the sizing process, where to get started, where to find the information, what information you have to provide in case you have any sizing questions.
And keep in mind, the node is 180.1063.
Okay, we can even sing it. Huh? Maybe make a short song. Okay, then.
Okay, so
hear you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.